the chorus goes.
Feels like there's a method to medicine. It feels so good that I just gotta have it to do. A far cry from the way I've been living my world.
Hello and welcome to the Supercast. I'm your host, Superintendent Anthony Godfrey. Join us as we go to South Jordan Middle School to visit a teacher who traded in their recording studio for a classroom.
And somewhere I go, do-do-do, and then they thought that was cool.
We're here at South Jordan Middle School with Brian Anderson, and just from the looks of what's sitting around him, it's going to be a really interesting interview. But first, Brian, thanks for taking the time.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Tell me a little bit about your teaching career before we get into all the other stuff.
Well, I definitely have interest in working with kids, and when I came back from doing a little stunt at chiropractic school, I drove the school bus. And when driving the school bus, I did some field trips. When doing the field trips, I met some teachers. Well, when I met the teachers and I met the students, it just started filling my heart that I wanted to kind of be a teacher and represent that somewhere. So I started subbing. I started subbing the Jordan School District. And after subbing for 4 years or so, I looked into getting into the program through, at that time, it was ARL. It's changed a couple times. Found a charter school that allowed me to teach a few classes there. Is AISU. I taught audio production, songwriting, photography, film, and a few things like that. They went out of business, went back to driving some more bus, and it was just a fluke. I went in to check on some insurance stuff at the district, and my heart just said, go talk to somebody, see if there's any openings right now with teaching here. And I asked if I could speak to someone who was over hiring, and they said, yeah, go talk to this person. And the person that they sent me to was actually the wrong person.
Oh.
But that person knew Nicole and said, I think she's looking for someone who might fit your background because I have a digital media background.
So the wrong person became the right person.
That's pretty much what happened. She called her on the phone, said, I've got this guy. She says, I'll have him send an application. I'll interview him tomorrow. She interviewed me. It worked out, and here I am teaching here at Sojo Middle School.
And how long have you been at Sojo now?
So this is my first year.
Wow. Great.
Yeah.
So this is a recent journey.
I came right about October
in
the middle of that pandemic thing and took over for someone who had an opportunity to teach somewhere else and picked it up from there and had a lot of great help with my coworkers. Shout out to them. They're amazing. And everybody here has just been really helpful and great.
Tell me about the music, because that's the focus of why we're here, is to learn a little bit more about that aspect of your career as well.
Yeah, I wrote songs and did little things in my bedroom, but I didn't realize what I was doing. It was just for fun. And
At what point in your life did you start doing this?
I did that like at 10 years old, 12 years old, and I'd play drums with ice cream buckets, and we couldn't afford that stuff. And so I just did stuff that I don't know, MTV influenced me a lot, and MTV then was a lot of the 80s acts. And so if you remember the 80s much, they all sang high. So I thought, well, I need to sing high too.
They did all sing high. And then it would modulate, and they'd go even higher at the end to give that emotional punch. What was some of the 80s music that inspired you initially to pursue it? Who were you trying to imitate? Or?
Well, some of my influences, hands down, were Bryan Adams, Bon Jovi, Europe, and then some of those rock bands like Motley Crue and Whitesnake, and even Survivor, some of the guys that I ended up playing music with later on.
You played, okay, wow, you played, okay. We have a lot of layers to go through here. That's very exciting. So those were some of the bands that inspired you. Tell me where it went from there.
So I really didn't know how to pursue this thing. I was clueless. No one did music in my family, or my relatives didn't do it. So I just started playing in bars and that's where you could play. There wasn't really anybody that hired anybody, and I tried to write more music and slowly started having a little repertoire of songs. And then I ran into this company that I heard about that said, come down and try to promote yourself and raise some money for your business. And I thought, well, hey, if Starbucks goes there and these other companies go there to raise money, I can be a business. So they wanted a lot of money to enter this thing. It wasn't a contest. It just cost a lot of money to go. And my dad's never given me a dollar. And I didn't have $10,000, and that's what it cost. And I said, Dad, I want to really go to this thing. I think I can maybe raise some money to help me get my music started. What do you think? And he didn't say anything, and I'm pretty sure it was dead at that point. And the next day he came to me with a $10,000 check saying, go knock it out. Go try it. And that blew me away, because my dad doesn't give anyone any money. You know, you make your own money.
Yeah.
And I was able to go there as an artist, as a musician. I played on stage, raised $250,000, and came home, was able to pay him back his $10,000, and moved to Nashville and started knocking doors.
Wow. So you raised that money with that performance?
Yep.
Talk about a high-stakes interview.
Yeah, didn't see that coming. You know, people came out of the woodworks. I met my music attorney there. My first manager I met there. They knew contacts, and as most things happen in most situations in life, where you meet someone and then it rolls into something else by contacts and their contacts, etc.
So, about what age were you when this happened?
I believe I was 22.
And that, for your dad to just do that out of the blue, that's tremendous.
I couldn't believe it. It was honestly one of those amazing, impossible things that I just don't understand. I don't know what went through his head when I asked. I could only imagine.
Because that's from 0 to 60. That's like, yeah. You're on your own. You got to do your thing, and here's $10,000 to pursue your dream.
Yeah.
That's very inspiring.
And he must have thought he wouldn't have gotten it back.
Sure.
So
yeah, he was saying goodbye to that $10,000.
Yeah.
But wow, that's really incredible.
Yeah, he's a great guy, amazing, and you know, just real blessed with good parents.
So you raise the money, you get an attorney, you move to Nashville. What happens next?
So I'm down in Nashville, and I have a manager who's interested in me at that point. And, you know, I'm ready to move at 100 miles per hour, and they want me to go 10 miles per hour. And it was really difficult. Long story short, it didn't work out. I just wanted to move faster than they wanted me to. They wanted me to sit down and write songs for like 3 years, and I'm like, I've got songs now, let's go. And so I found some other managers that was a better move for me, and they led me to a contact in Sony, the guy that signed the Dixie Chicks, worked with them and a few other acts, got in contact with me, and we decided to work together and see where that would go. And even though that didn't lead to some great famous career, nor was I even looking for fame, I just wanted to do my music.
Right.
They helped me a lot, and because I was pop country, I got shelved mostly, even though I got to do events and performances with different acts, and got my chops a little more fine-tuned. It didn't lead to anything great, and eventually got out of that.
Along the way, you got to work with a number of different bands. Let's find out some of the people you've worked with.
Sure, yeah. I went out of that deal into a deal in L.A., and this guy was more pop rock, and he had contacts with a guy named Jim Peterick. And Jim Peterick is one of the founders of Survivor. And went to his house, and we wrote a couple of songs and hit it off. And I got that song here I can show you too. But that song led to a number of concerts and shows and events with some other acts. So did some stuff with Night Ranger, did some stuff with 38 Special, with Don Barnes, did a show with them at CNN, and Lynyrd Skynyrd did an album with Lynyrd Skynyrd.
You did an album with Lynyrd Skynyrd?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
When people say play some Skynyrd, you can just say been there, done that.
I don't know about that. This album was a project that we did together called The Day America Cried, and it happened after the towers fell.
Wow.
And we wanted to put together this project that joined America, and I was one of the artists on that project, so I was able to go to the studio and work with some of these acts, and that's where I've met a number of people, some members of Journey, and did some shows along the way where we would promote this album called The Day America Cried all over the place, and that led to small little venues and intimate venues to super large venues that we were able to perform together.
What's the largest crowd that you've played for?
I think 18,000.
18,000. Wow.
We also opened for Blessed Union of Souls a couple times, and that was fun because they weren't necessarily a rock band.
Right, sure.
Yeah, and great group of guys.
You're kind of blowing my mind here. You worked with Lynyrd Skynyrd, members of Journey. You wrote a song with Jim from Survivor.
Yeah, Jim Peters.
Okay, tell me a little bit more about that. Is there a moment where you're sitting down with him thinking, okay, don't talk about Rocky III, don't talk about Rocky III?
Of course, those posters are all over in his house.
Okay, all right.
I have his guitar right here that he gave me for Christmas.
He gave you a guitar for Christmas?
Yeah, this is a guitar he toured with and did stuff with Van Halen and all this stuff, and he gave me this as a gift.
Okay. Now, so, I just need to clarify. I'm sitting right now with you beside a guitar that was used on stage with Van Halen and
Yeah, when he would
Survivor
play and do and all his hits and tours with many artists, right?
Yeah.
Because he's the real rock star. This is the guitar he used, and I was over at his house one day, and we were working on another song, and he says, "Hey, Merry Christmas. Here's one of my favorite guitars." I said, "What? That's amazing. I got to find a way to get this home because the plane, you know, I already had enough luggage and things. I had to figure out how to get it home, but that wasn't going to be a problem."
Yeah, all you do is you throw away whatever you brought with you, yeah, and this comes home on your lap the whole time.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd buy a separate airline ticket for that guitar if I had to.
Yeah,
wow.
And he's been a big influence in my life on a number of levels. For example, he wrote with a number of other people songwriting for Dummies.
Oh, yes.
And he put one of the songs that I wrote on the front cover of it.
Wow.
And he put me in the book as well and featured me in a couple of things with a song I wrote called Empty. And so I think that I really owe a lot to him for taking me under his wing and introducing me to a lot of people.
Yeah. Stay with us when we come back. More stories from the studio and the road.
Do you simply love learning online? We can't wait to have you join the amazing teachers in our brand new Jordan Virtual Learning Academy. In Jordan Virtual Learning Academy schools, we offer innovative, fun, and flexible online learning with daily real-time instruction from teachers. Enrollment is currently open for all K-12 students in Utah. Start on the path to personalized virtual learning success now at connect.jordandistrict.org. That's connect.jordandistrict.org.
Concert we did.
Oh yeah. That's cool. This is one of my favorites. I do love this one.
So he had me perform it for him instead.
Really?
Yeah. How can I
convince you? So this is you.
Yeah.
Who am I to blame you? I've listened to this song hundreds of times. I'm not exaggerating.
I told him, do you know how many girls I've met dancing with your song? That was our first thing.
Oh, yeah. I have swayed to this song many, many times.
This is his niece.
Right. I do see some Grammy swag. I noticed your Grammy shirt as I walked in.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about that.
This is what they, when I went to the Grammys, they gave me the Grammy bag and stuff like this.
You got the swag bag at
the
Grammys.
Yeah, swag bag at the Grammys.
Wow.
Went there with Jeff McCluskey, who was a radio promoter for everyone, Creed, Lifehouse, everyone. We went there with Sheryl Crow and stayed in their booth. And
so you went to the Grammys with Sheryl Crow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like one does, you know.
You know. And it was cool being an honorary member of the Grammy in the schools. So I was part of that foundation where the job was to create opportunities for high school students to work with professionals to get real world experience and advice about how to have a music career. And that just wasn't really in schools. And so they had me. My role was to talk about the opportunity at different music conventions to students about like their Grammy camps and try to get the community to push for more music in the schools.
Yeah, that's a very worthy cause. Let's bust out this guitar, shall we?
Sure.
I would love to get a look at that.
This
I'm a big a big Survivor fan, by the way.
Oh, you are? Okay.
Yeah.
Well.
High on You.
Oh, yeah. So, this is it.
Wow. Oh, may I?
Yeah.
Oh, this is pretty cool.
Yeah. So why
it's
man?
A cream-colored...
Yeah, you can see how it's kind of faded a little
this
bit.
This is a Fender Stratocaster, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Wide neck Stratocaster.
A wide neck?
Mm-hmm. That's what you'd call
it. Oh.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
I am...
You're touching a guitar there that's been through quite a few shows.
Wow. That feels really good. That is so cool. I can't even believe
it's
that.
It's kind of like performing at the Whiskey A Go Go. They
yeah,
had me play up there.
You've played the Whiskey A Go Go?
I played the Whiskey A Go Go.
And
if you know who's played the Whiskey A Go Go, I think I made a list here. The Doors, Chicago, Led Zeppelin, U2, Van Halen, Guns N' Roses, Motley Crue.
Basically, my entire Time Machine fantasy concert list was played at the Whiskey A Go Go.
Yeah, it was pretty cool to show up there and just be on that stage, you know.
Was that you performing? Were you, with a group?
What? No, we were the performers that night. So
that's incredible. To perform on that stage.
It was a high.
Wow. Sure. I feel like we could talk all day, that the stories would just keep unfolding. That is so cool.
There's a few of them.
I'd love to hear a song of yours.
Okay. Well,
Tell me about this one.
So, as you know, music's not always straight shot up, and there's a lot of dynamics in it, and One of the times where we weren't sure where things were going with my career, I was traveling to California to do another show with my band. And in that car, I'm just thinking, how cool is this that we're riding to California, we're driving here, and we get to play these shows with some acts, and we get to do music for a living. And I was just reminiscing on that, and I just decided to start writing this song called The Ride. So this is a real acoustic version, and I can give you a CD of the more rock version of it.
That'd be great.
Watching you breathe next to me, there's no other place I wanna be. It takes me away to think of you. I'm holding on to you. I wanna ride.
crowd goes wild. That's fantastic. That's a hit in my book. That is good stuff. Wow. And just the way that you play, it's obvious that you're very, very skilled. I pick up a guitar and anyway, it's just so smooth. Well done.
Oh,
that's awesome. So tell me, what advice would you give to parents if their child is maybe interested in music, shows an interest in songwriting? What would you suggest?
I would suggest to start them right away. They may never pursue it, but what it can do for them can open their mind to so many avenues and unlock the doors that might stay shut, that introduce other things that would have never begun because they didn't pursue maybe that passion. It's kind of like math. It's like, you might ask yourself, why am I doing this math problem? But it opens up other things inside the mind that might introduce you to be better at something else. And I feel that music can connect on so many levels with other people and with yourself, and you grow. And to have them right away start doing some kind of lesson on an instrument or even a vocal lesson and try to get them into songwriting so they can express that talent as a package.
There's a lot to be gained, like you said, even if it isn't going to be a career or something that you pursue long term, mm-hmm. just from engaging with that and tapping into your creative side, there's a lot of advantage to having that in your life.
Yeah, a lot of growth can come from that, and you would never know it unless you tried to harness it, and a lot of it is buried, to be honest. For me, my music was buried till I was 18. I didn't even know that I really was good at it and could do it till after high school.
Well, it's been a huge treat talking with you. I can't tell you how much I've enjoyed stopping by and hearing your stories. You've been closely connected with a lot of music and artists that I've loved over the years, and you've been part of that industry, which is just fascinating to me. So thank you so much for spending the time and for everything you're doing for the students here at South Jordan. We're sure lucky to have you here.
Oh, I appreciate the opportunity, and thanks for letting me go down memory lane again.
Thanks for joining us on another episode of the Supercast. Remember, education is the most important thing you'll do today. We'll see you out there.